I want to start a new series with you this weekend, and the series is called Things That Make You Strong. And over the next few weeks, going to be teaching around our strength to strength theme. And I want you to make this a part of your life. You know, every year we wait on the Lord for what He wants as a theme for the whole church for 12 months. And that doesn't mean that, you know, God starts something here and finishes it there. I'm still living in freedom. What about you? From the last 12 months, and we want to build on freedom. I'm still unashamed. I want to go above and beyond, and I'm still wholehearted. You know, that kind of covers all the options. And next year will be something else. But, you know, I believe it's progressive revelation that God is building into our hearts and lives. And these are things that you can pray into every aspect of your life. You know, pray strength to strength into your marriage, if you're a married person. Pray strength to strength, easier said than done, into your workplace, into your business, into your children, into your friendships, your social circle, and into your own life, into your spiritual devotional life. Make this a center for your life this year and then build on it in subsequent years. And so I want us to start that series this evening, Things That Make You Strong, by teaching about the power of us. And we're in Psalm 84, which is our key scripture for 2012 and the strength to strength theme. And David starts with this beautiful declaration, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My heart yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord God Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." And then it says, Selah. I mentioned that last week in the message, which is a kind of a pause in the song where we reflect on the truth we've just read in and think about the truth we're about to read. In verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca." That's the valley of weeping, the valley of difficulty in life. As we pass through that valley, which all of us automatically will at various times and seasons in our life, but as we pass through that valley, the valley of weeping and sadness and difficulty, we make it a place of springs. In other words, we do what Christy talked about around the prayer time tonight. Even in the midst of hard times, We demonstrate a sense of rejoicing and gratitude and thankfulness in life. And by doing that, we turn the difficulty into a place of springs. That doesn't mean the difficulty instantaneously vanishes and that life all becomes good, but it changes our perspective. We draw on the truth that the joy of the Lord is our strength, okay? And not only do we bless ourselves, but we bless a whole lot of people around us. Because there are other people walking through that valley of weeping, but they find it a place of springs. And it's not quite as dry as it was, or as dry as it could have been, because of your experience before them. And there's a wonderful biblical principle that I'll share a bit more on in the weeks to come. And so our key verse for this year, verse 7, "They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion." That's the end of our destination. That is heaven. "Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one." And then my text for the night, verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." As we looked at last week, and if you missed the message last week, go online, download it, go to iTunes, get a CD. I mean, there's a million ways of catching up with the word, but make sure you hear last week's message, because this psalm was all about David running away from Absalom. He was in conflict with his family. He had to leave Jerusalem. He had to leave the presence of God. He had to leave the people of God. And here he is either out in the desert or sitting in a cave in a mountain somewhere. And he's like, oh, if only I could go back to the presence of God. If only I could hang out with the people of God. And he's feeling weak. And in this psalm, he talks about how to get strong. And we looked at it last week. First of all, that there's strength in numbers. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. It's wonderful to enjoy time on your own with God. But how good it is to be with his people in his presence, to find strength in numbers. That's why we're talking up the Connect groups this weekend, because with Connect groups, we can go from strength to strength together, because it's all about the power of us. He talks about strength in numbers and then strength in God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. He's talking to God, to be located in God. We find strength, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we're located in him, we find strength. They go from strength to strength. Under ordinary circumstances, the strength of the traveler diminishes through the journey. But with us, it's the reverse. We go from strength to strength. And so with all that in mind, in Psalm 84 and verse 10, David combines both of these truths in one verse, that there is strength in God and strength in numbers. He declares, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. The courts of God were the place where the people of God gathered with one another to worship him together. It's where they experienced the power of us. And he's declaring here, better one day in that place than a thousand anywhere else. That is, the best this world has to offer is 1,000th the value of being right with God and connected with his people. That's a good perspective. And then he goes on, he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I put a number of statements in your notes there that kind of describe what he might be getting at there. He says it would be an honor and a privilege to be anywhere about God's house rather than to be the occupant of a dwelling place of sin. The humblest place in the kingdom of God is higher than the highest place in the world. And then I love this because it puts it really, really succinctly. God's worst is better than the devil's best. As Christian men and women, we are made for connection with God and his people. God never intended us to do this journey alone because it's all about the power of us. We've got to understand that, church. With all that in mind, God is a community. I know there are some religions with a solitary God. And normally, when you look into those religions, you actually find that because there's a solitary God, he's pretty ticked. He's a bit angry because he's been hanging out with himself for eternity. And that would be a lonely, isolated condition. And so when you look into those religions, invariably, there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of condemnation. There's a lot of punishment involved. But when you come to the Christian God, he's a community. One God expressed in three persons. Now, if you want me to fully explain that to you, I'm going to sadly disappoint you. Because this might be news to some of you, but I can't explain God to you. And you should actually be glad I can't. Because if I could reduce the God of the universe and the God of eternity down to a succinct statement or line, then I would be bringing him down to our level. And so you'd be very glad that I can't do that for you. How 1 equals 3 or 3 equals 1, I'm really not sure. All I know is the Bible reveals one God who is manifest in three very distinct personalities. They aren't each other, but they make up, they're all God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have been eternally pre-existent before he created time and space and matter, God has been. That's it. You try and meditate on that and that'll separate your head from your shoulders. You try and think about the past and, you know, when the earth began and before that, for eternity, without beginning. Bah! Some of you have just done it, right? You go, oh, I can't go there. And it's the same as the future, eternity. Can't rationalize that. But God has been three persons in one, and there's been perfect love and perfect fellowship between those three persons. And so they never had to do anything. They didn't have to create a world and people and all of that. That was a choice that they made to do that, knowing full well the way it was all going to pan out, but they had the end from the beginning in mind, and they worked out that it was going to be worth it to create us. So God is a community, and He has created us in His image for community. And so we don't exist in isolation. People love to gather. And I know we like to gather on various levels in that. There are some people that may be more introverted and are very happy with their own space and their own company, but you still need other people. Isn't that right? We have introverts in our congregation, and you're a little quieter and all of that, and that's fine. But you still love to gather. We're made for it. I'm fascinated by the way some technology today is actually working against our connection. And I've got to say, I am a little concerned about it. I was down the park the other day with Trinity, our three-year-old, and when I'm at the park with Trinity, I actually like to play with her. But what a bizarre concept. I've got to say, there was a number of parents at the park with their kids, but I was the only parent playing with the kid. All the other parents were standing there on their iPhones, SMSing. One little boy, I looked up, and this little boy turned to his mum to try and get her attention, and she looked at him and didn't say a word and looked straight back at her iPhone and started doing her SMS again. I felt like yelling at her. It's like, I didn't. You'll be glad to know. But I felt like it because it's like, for goodness sake, he's only going to be three for a year. Enjoy him, you know. Switch the phone off. Hey, leave it at home. Put it on silent. Leave it in the car. Do so. Focus on the child. And you know, there are so many people who do that these days. When I go out for lunch with people, I like to either leave my phone in the car or I put it on silent. Because how annoying is it when you're connecting? But you go into cafes these days and you see people seated around chairs drinking coffee, and they are together, but they're not together. And they're all sitting on their iPhones. I was at the beach a few weeks ago, walking along the beach, just having, you know, a bit of time of prayer and some exercise. And there were these young guys standing around on the beach in a big circle. There was about six or seven of them. One had a cricket bat and one had a ball, and they all had their iPhones. And it was a bizarre sight. They were all standing there in this, all on their iPhones, all SMSing. And as I walked past, someone said something about Facebook. And I'm like, I think Facebook is a really good thing to fast, because I'm not going to give up coffee this year. I've done that for a few years, and it's horrible. So this year I'm going to go 40 days without Facebook. Oh, I'm sorry, those of you who love following me and you love, you know, my little daily sayings and all of that sort of stuff, get your own for 40 days. But isn't that life in 2012? We are present but not connected. And that's got to change, church. When we're present, we got to be present. You know, the word that we get our word religion from is the Greek word religio, and the base of that word means to connect. You know, the Bible actually talks about true religion. We sometimes get this mixed up. We think that religion is our enemy, but true religion is our friend. We just got to avoid false religion and make sure that we're not involved with false religion. But James, in chapter 1 of James, says true religion is this: to look after widows and orphans in their distress, and keep yourself unpolluted from the world. That's true religion. So what is it? It's about getting connected to the poor, to the needy, to the lonely, to the disenfranchised of this world, and making sure that in that connection we can actually help them. That's true religion. We're into that sort of religion here at Bayside Church. Let's not be those sort of people that are present but not connected. And I'll use that to talk to some of you folk here tonight, because there are some, as Georgina talked about before, that you're legitimately a part of the crowd because you need to be right now. But there is a time where you need to move from the crowd of just turning up on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, and you need to start moving a little deeper into the community and start connecting at that point. Don't just be present, but be connected. Amen. Don't just attend a church, but be part of a community, because that's the plan of God. You know, Psalm 84 is all about David running away from Absalom. There's another part where David is running away from Saul. In fact, I think David, when you study his life, probably spent half his life running from people. But he was running away from Saul on one occasion. And in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16, it tells us this: Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh. And look at this. He helped him find strength in God. Isn't that great? That's what I'm talking about here. This is community, because you can say, oh, you know, well, why couldn't David just find strength in God for himself? Well, because sometimes we're in such times of difficulty in our lives that we actually can't find strength in God for ourselves, and that's when we need to be in community. I've found times in my life, including last year, where I simply needed the prayers of God's people to help me find strength in God through a very difficult time. And I just praise God for the community of God's people. I know all of you guys were praying. I had people all around Australia, all around the world praying for me. And I could feel the prayers of the people of God. And in community, I found strength in God. We need one another. We mustn't be just present. We need each other. We need the power of us. I'm doing life with a number of pastors now here in Melbourne. And in fact, at the beginning of last year, there were four of us who decided that we would get together on a regular basis for fellowship, accountability, encouragement, and prayer. And that's Mark Connor from City Life Church, Peter McHugh from Stairway Church, and Dale Stevenson from Crossway. And so the four of us have started getting together. In October last year, we all went away. Four of us went away for 2 days. Down on the peninsula, we were able to borrow a nice house and spent 2 days just hanging out together. It was wonderful doing life, praying, eating, chatting, sharing, you know, some of our innermost personal things that we were facing in life. And it was absolutely sensational. And it continues. We all got together this week and had lunch. And one of the initiatives that came out of our retreat was that we would contact some of the pastors of churches in the city of Melbourne, particularly some of the larger churches, and ask them if they would like to gather together 3 times a year for a dinner. And so each of us took a few of these people and we rang them and their wives and invited them together. And long story short was that Christy and I hosted the first of those dinners on Thursday night, just gone 2 nights ago, at our home. And we had a whole group of pastors, what were they, about 20, 25 people, pastors and their wives, who came together and had a wonderful night of fellowship. And to finish off, about 9:30 in the evening, we all gathered together, and together we prayed for the city of Melbourne. Amen. It's awesome. So good. Because it's about the power of us. It's doing life together in community. And I praise God for the men and women of God that we have fellowship with around Australia and around the world, but particularly in this city, because we're doing life strong together. Let's finish up. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verses 11 to 13. And Paul is here writing to the Roman church. He says, I long to see you. And then he gives them the reason that he longs to see them, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now, let's just stop there for a moment, because without reading the rest of it, we could think, wow, a spiritual gift to make me strong. Wonder what spiritual gift that would be. And we'd all think of a different spiritual gift. Some would like, you know, maybe prophecy, and others would like miracles, and some would like healing. And they're all wonderful spiritual gifts. But I want you to see here the spiritual gift that Paul wanted to communicate to the Roman church. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Verse 12, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's the spiritual gift. It was connection, was encouragement. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. He longed to see them. He wanted to come to them so that there would be a mutual encouragement, the gift, the spiritual gift of encouragement. And that has to work in community. Can you imagine trying to exercise the gift of encouragement in isolation? Well, I suppose, yeah, you can encourage yourself, certainly. But that would get a little boring after a while. Sitting there, what are you doing? Oh, I'm encouraging myself. And so you walk past them and you come back a little while later. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm still encouraging myself. You know, after a while, you actually want to take that encouragement and encourage other people. And that's what we do in community. Hebrews 10, 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, that is the second coming of Christ, approaching. That is, you can't encourage others if you don't connect with them. Having someone to love is family. Having somewhere to go is home. Having both is a blessing. Bayside Church is a family, a home, and a blessing. Plan to connect in 2012 and experience the power of us. Amen. Why don't we bow in prayer together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Allow the Word of God just to settle into your heart and into your mind right now. Whatever God has said to you in that message, just hide that into your heart. Do what Mary did. She just pondered the Word. She hid it in her heart and that word germinated on the inside of her. Allow God's word to germinate, to grow, and to flourish, and to bear fruit in the weeks and months to come. It's about doing the journey together in community. It's the power of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's something that makes us strong in your precious name. This is we're bowed in His presence. I want to give you opportunity, as we always do at Bayside Church, to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Not to live a life in isolation, but to come into community, first of all, with a God who loves you, wants to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong, wants to give you a fresh start in life, wants to give you abundant life now and eternal life forever. If you would like to come into a relationship with a God like that, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but we will pray together as a community of people in just a moment. And if you would like to commit your life to God tonight, just lift your hand up nice and high right now so I can see you as I'm looking across the auditorium. Anyone at all, lift your hand up nice and high. By the lifting of your hand, you're saying, yep, I want to receive prayer. I want to ask Jesus into my life. Anyone at all, right across, going to ask one more time. Lift your hand up high right now. Yep, God bless you. I see your hand there. Anyone like to join this lady? Best thing you're ever going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Okay, let's all stand together, shall we? We're going to pray a prayer together as a community. And lady, you just raised your hand. I want you to make this your prayer, okay? Pray this from your heart. God will hear your prayer and He will respond to it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I believe that on the cross, Jesus Christ gave His life for me. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my friend. Come into my life. Forgive me, cleanse me, and fill me with your power. From this day on, I will live for you. In your name, amen. Let's give Him praise in this place, shall we? Thank you, Lord God.